Up next, listen to the future of the internet with WebTalk and hear the latest news and trends keeping those electronic circuits and broadband connections buzzing.
This week, we look at the business of search with NielsenNet ratings. We learn how porn blogs are manipulating Google. iTunes gets political, and Mitch Radcliffe joins us to pontificate about Google's impending IPO.
Stay connected. WebTalk is coming up next.
WebTalk Radio is brought to you by Web.com, the most trusted name on the net. When you're ready to get on the web, visit Web.com for domain names as low as $4.95. Web.com offers full-featured web hosting, including online store packages, starting at only $7.95 per month. Web.com has thousands of .web.com names available at www.web.com.
You're connected and streaming WebTalk at WebTalkRadio.com, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and thank you for listening to us from around the world. And we work hard every week here to bring you great content relating to the web and the internet, and we talk about some of the latest net trends out there and the coolest internet-connected devices.
And I'm Dana Greenlee, glad to be here yet again, but we are not alone.
No, we're not.
We have someone else in the studio.
Yes, we're joined by technology pundit and past co-host of the show, Mitch Radcliffe, and he writes the Now Daily Weblog for Red Herring at redherring.com, and it's great to have you in the studio again, Mitch.
Why, thank you. Thank you very much.
Mitch, you are always adding a spark to the show. I mean, it's become my favorite shows whenever you're on, and he's been on several times this year already.
Well, he brings a great spark to the show.
I'm looking forward to some, like, wild, outlandish statements.
I'm going to be completely calm today.
Oh, well, geez, I'm going to be disappointed. No, just kidding.
I'm so mellow. You guys are mellow, too, you know.
Well, compared to you, yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I was hoping, Mitch, today that we might be able to talk about Google's coming IPO and whether or not that's going to give an opportunity to some of Google's competitors out there to kind of jump in the whole search fray and whether or not they're going to be majorly distracted by this IPO. And we would also like to talk with you about file sharing, peer-to-peer networks, and what their future is or if they have a future.
I've heard of that.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'd be glad to talk about those things with you today. Thank you for having me.
That would be great.
Well, and other great topics coming up just before we get into what Mitch has to say on the show is...
The race to search the desktop has just begun.
Real One released to Linux.
The iTunes gets political.
And one I hope that Mitch will chime in on, porn blogs manipulate Google.
Oh, yeah, baby.
We all hear about how search is such a powerful advertising medium, and companies like Google and Yahoo are banking their company's future on the fast-growing, high-demand marketing opportunity of paid search, but there are some growing problems with the search's golden child of sponsored links and contextual link advertising. Later in the show, we're going to speak with Charles Buckwalter, who's the vice president of client analytics for NielsenNet Ratings, and he's going to give us the real scoop on why search advertising should be approached and done with caution since return on investment is getting harder to get.
Probably the fastest growing area within online marketing is search marketing. Really, anything short of a meteoric rise wouldn't really be fair to call it. It's just immense.
It's time for a brief summary of what happened this week. And, of course, this week was search engine strategies in San Jose. So we're going to start out with a little story about search.
There seems to be a real race going on right now to get search going on the desktop, which means that search tools that you use on your desktop to search your files on your computer as well as files over the internet and kind of bringing all that together. And both
as though what's on your hard drive isn't already confusing enough, we're going to add the web results.
Well, that's right. That's right. But, you know, I think it's a good trend because it's bringing all of the information that we have in our information world on our computers. And even Yahoo's kind of adding a whole new twist to this, being able to search information that they're storing in their web services area, like photographs and emails and those kind of things. So it's really bringing kind of an integration. And I think it's important. What do you think, Mitch?
I think it is important that you integrate all of these different views of information. But I think we're also contributing to sort of an information overload that we're never going to be able to overcome until we think differently about, you know, finding stuff. It's not just, mm-hmm. you know, where is it and how do I get to it, but what really matters to me. And those are the kinds of things I think we're going to see a lot of investment in research and development over the next few years.
Yeah, I think this is kind of like the first stage in that whole operating system deployment. And I think what the Apple computer folks, Steve Jobs came out with a terrific solution that integrates all this stuff into the operating system. And we just haven't seen that in the Windows environment yet.
So, Rich, you talked about
that's usually how it is with the Windows environment.
Well, yeah,
it follows the Macintosh environment by a few years.
Yeah, it's a piecemeal approach. Microsoft did acquire a new company that's called Lookout, and they've got a little plugin that you can install right now into your Outlook program that does allow you to have more robust search of your Outlook program.
Last week demonstrated a search tool that integrates both web search through MSN's toolbar and your hard drive, which was supposed to be rolled out as part of Longhorn in a few years, but because everybody else is doing it, now suddenly Microsoft is as well.
And one thing that's fascinating about this is it seems like Google's kind of gotten left in the dust a little bit with this now. They came out with this desk bar last year, and it seems like they're sitting in a terrific position to do a whole desktop search solution with the desk bar, I would think. But I haven't really heard
anything. It's just more information. We're sitting here talking about it, and it just is like, okay, so another way of searching for stuff, but it doesn't add anything necessarily. I mean, I can find stuff now.
So you're waiting for that artificial intelligence to be able to tell you what
it isn't even an artificial intelligence. It's a matter of taking different views of information and putting them together so that you have different ways of understanding them. This is, in fact, something that I've started a new company to begin to try to address.
Sure.
So I can't go into any, you know, because I'd have to kill everyone who's listening. But
well, that would be a little hard to do, Mitch.
You really don't know.
You got that kind of technology.
He's
huh?
rubbing his hands together like Dr. Evil right now.
Dr. Strangelove. Hey. No, but you know, it strikes me that all of this search is only a very, very early step in a complete integration of knowledge into our lives as compared to just information or data and lots of disjointed stuff as compared to a big jointed thing.
Well, you're talking about smart search, which is something totally different than what these guys are talking about here. They're just trying to pull everything together into one pile.
Yeah, but the other thing is you're not always going to have one mode of search that works for everybody. In fact, you're going to have different modes in your own life at different times that you're going to need to use, and that's what I think we're going to be moving toward.
Yeah, and these guys are all coming up with their own mode of search, aren't they? So it's going to actually create a more confusing environment.
Yeah.
Each time you go, I mean, which one are you going to use?
Right. And, you know, back when I was a full-time tech journalist, the guys who developed software would come in and they'd show you something and then they'd leave it with you and you'd realize that what they had shown you that seemed to work so well was them using their own brain put into code. And their brain in code is different than the way that everybody else thinks. And so it doesn't actually work, but it demos great. You know, it demos fantastically because the guy's using his brain.
Yeah,
that's true. But we're going to see a lot of kind of desktop search tools coming out. Lycos has got some solutions that they're working on. Ask Jeeves is rolling it out as well. So look for it on your computer coming soon.
Real Networks has announced something. You know, they were like the pioneers in streaming audio, and now the Linux community is very happy that they have provided some tools for Linux.
Real is really rolling out into these other platforms because I think that they see a real strong future for the Linux platform moving forward, and obviously Windows Media is not going to be a big player there.
I think it's a combination of desperation and
utility. Well, there is certain
desperation,
yeah.
Real's getting its butt kicked in a lot of areas of its business these days.
Well,
after all, they had to hack into iTunes to keep their music business alive.
But that probably is going to work out to be a good thing for them, I would think.
Speaking of iTunes, I just want to say that they are now offering a free service where as long as you have the little iTunes player on your desktop for either Mac or Windows, you can go there and get free downloads of all the speeches from Democratic National Convention, the Republican, yet to be, National Convention, the 9/11 National...
When it should come to pass...
The Commission on Terrorist Attacks. So all that information, all the audio, just put it on your iPod or any MP3 player, right?
Boy, it'd be nice if iTunes had more radio shows on there. What do you think, Mitch? You think the Web Talk should be on the
iTunes? You're right. In fact, I think we ought to send a note to the people who build iPods and build iTunes and make them do it.
I think we should twist their arm.
We can point out that we can get to them.
In other streaming news, and we want to just touch on a couple of great videos that are floating out there, you know, on streaming and political news. I think by now you've all heard of
this. Because it's really about the politics.
Yes. Everything is revolving around politics these days.
Well, it is. In America, I know that so many of you are listening outside of America, but right now we're a little obsessed with, you know, with the presidential race, what's going on. And JibJab. Have you all heard about JibJab.com?
Oh, well, yeah.
Everybody has.
Certainly.
Well, of course I've heard about JibJab.
They've had a
JibJab is a good example of America. America being a good American thing.
Okay, George. Okay, George.
They've been. If you haven't seen it, go to JibJab.com. Watch the This Land Is Your Land little music video with George Bush and John Kerry. It's hilarious.
I particularly like the way they said nuclear.
Nuclear.
But now, Mitch, you were mentioning before the show a great new hot video to watch.
It's the Will Ferrell video, which is a takeoff on George W. making his new campaign commercial. And he's standing there talking to the people. Talking to the people. He's not talking like his father, because his father had a kind of higher voice.
And a horse walks up behind him. What's that? What's this thing?
What is that thing? Is that thing going to be back there the whole time?
That can be found at WhiteHouseWest.com. And may I just say quickly, I have my own little music video. It'll be up on the front page of WebTalkRadio.com. I made this a few days after the Democratic National Convention, and it's just clips from the convention and the speeches and some music.
You know, I think it's really beautiful, beautiful that you do this kind of stuff.
Yes, it is.
Because you have an American sensibility.
To be fair, we'll...
You kind of scare me,
which is
what I think makes America great, is that we can be kind of scared all the time.
Now, Dana, so are you going to put up one for George Bush, too?
I have a challenge for any listeners that feel particularly passionate about it to make a music video and send it in online into dana@webtalkradio.com. I'd love to see it. Once again, you know, the show itself is non-denominational.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean the hosts are.
Yeah. Praise the Lord! May I have an amen? Amen!
Well, Dana, you found an interesting story about Google being manipulated by, porn blogs or something
porn,
like that?
Everybody knows the porn guys were the ones that, you know, basically invented marketing on the internet back in the 90s, and they seem to lead the trend, as sleazy as it might be, in ways to promote their sites, right? Sound effects from the heavy breathing. And so now, you all have heard of Blogger and Blogspot, which is the free version of Blogger that Google, I believe, owns, right? And so some particular porn site, I will not give their name, has decided that what a great way to raise their search results in the ranks of Google by using the PageRank system that Google has put in place by opening up a lot of Blogspot blogs that basically write content and have links pointing to
porn,
the porn site porn that they're wanting to promote, the commercial site. And it's actually been a little
bit. And, you know, frankly, why not? Well, you know, I mean, if we have freedom of speech and we're going to have red light districts in this country, why
we
not?
We do. We have red light districts in this country, Mitch?
You know, I actually got a blog spam the other day on my blog that pointed to a blog which the first screen before you began scrolling down looked like a student at Stanford. It even had a Stanford-looking URL. I'm sure it was a fish thing, but... as you scroll down, then it was all links to, you know, Levitra and Lipitor and stuff like that. But it's interesting the things people are trying to do to elevate their page ranking.
To find them, yeah. That's true. I think Google's onto the porn sites. I don't know if it's going to work for you guys in case you're getting any bright ideas.
Well, I think Google's going to get wise to it and kind of cut off the benefit just like they do with – it seems like everything else these days if you – linked from a bad area or if you're trying to scam the search engine, they're going to find out about it and penalize you.
Bad
Google.
Support for Web Talk every week is provided by our wonderful friends, particularly the ones at SerenadeSystems.com. Go to SerenadeSystems.com/Web Talk. They're applauding. This is an amazing little application that you can sign up for and download audio. You can listen to Web Talk Radio, NPR, Kin Radio, with about 300 other top tech shows, sports, entertainment, radio programs. Check out SerenadeSystems.com/WebTalk.
And don't forget that WebTalk part. That's important. We're also supported by Web.com, the most trusted name on the net. And when you're ready to get on the net and get a website up, go visit Web.com. They've got domain names as low as $4.95, and they offer full-featured hosting with packages starting as low as $7.95 a month. So go check them out at Web.com.
And our friends over at InfoCreek.com do great websites. Check them out. Go look at their portfolio. If you're looking to have a website built, go check out InfoCreek.com.
Up next, Mitch and Dana and I are going to discuss Google's impending IPO, and we're going to find out and discuss here whether the IPO is going to be a golden opportunity for Google's competitors to walk right in and walk all over them. And we're also going to talk about the peer-to-peer file sharing networks and whether or not they do have a future or not.
Bom.
You don't want to miss that. This is Web Talk Radio.
Da-da-da-da.
It's all about convenience. Serenade Audio is a revolutionary new service that's redefining the MP3 player listening experience, allowing you to listen to what you want, when you want, anytime, anywhere, at your convenience. With Serenade Audio, you can download Web Talk Guys, plus over 300 news, talk, sports, and entertainment programs are available as well, and they can all be downloaded to your MP3 player with just one click. Easy and convenient. Now, for a limited time, when you sign up for Serenade Audio, you'll receive over 100 music channels for your PC absolutely free. To learn more, visit Serenade Audio on the web at serenadesystems.com/webtalk.
Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, Web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com. Welcome back to Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and I'm Rob Greenlee, and Dana Greenlee's in here, and Mitch Radcliffe is back with us as well.
And Mitch, it's so good to have you. Mitch is the blogger at Red Herring at The Now, at Red Herring. Has his own blog at radcliffeblog.com, and just an all-around great guy. He's been working with On24 in many, many, many endeavors in the journalistic news and book world. Anything new that you're working on right now that you can tell us about without killing us?
Well, I mean, there's the usual combination of innovationworld.com, which is a series of vertically focused blogs about international business development. That's coming along great. And we have a subscription service for research that we do. And it's just a never-ending cavalcade of
How's correspondences.org going?
Correspondences is doing well. We get good traffic and got some great contributors who are mostly, haranguing the government of the United States these days, but it's pleasant.
And your work at Red Herring is keeping you busy, I'm sure, keeping up to date. What's the latest stuff at Red Herring that you're talking about right now?
This week I did a little piece on Disney's new PC with Mickey Mouse ears.
Oh, interesting.
I think it's one of the dumber ideas I've heard in a while.
Well, you never know. They might make a market with the kids, right?
No, actually, I don't believe that because I queried my own children. And my 11-year-old said he would not want a childish computer like that. And when you think about the size of the market they're going after.
Didn't they do any market research with this?
Their market research says that kids 6 to 18 are the target market of,
18?
I mean, there's not a kid out. And it's a 14-inch monitor. I mean, what kind of gamer is going to go, oh, yeah, Dad, get me the 14-inch monitor with the ears because the ears are so cool. My son, the really telling thing to me was in terms of what Disney should be focusing on. He says, would it mean that all the Disney games I play would have fewer error messages in them?
Yeah, well, you never know.
Fewer page expired. Well, you know, his thinking is, you know, it's of a piece. The software and the hardware should be one thing and should all be up to date. Yeah. He's always running into these page expired messages on Disney's site.
Disney's site, I got you. Now, I could see doing something with the ears with, like, spikes and, you know, bullet holes and earring type things, and they might be cool then.
Yeah, but that would sort of fetishize and sexualize the whole Mickey thing, and they don't want to do that.
No. That'd be bad PR for them.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Google.
Yes.
Everybody knows they named their stock price, their strike price.
It's a Mickey Mouse stock, if you ask me.
That was a good segue between those two, wasn't it? Now, yeah, they seem to be wanting to come out with a really, I think, an overpriced stock. I mean, it's over $100 a share. And
what can I rant about this?
What exactly are they buying for over $100? That's the question.
Well, let me just tell you that it's just amazing. They're going to price their stock between $108 and $135 a share, which gives them a market capitalization between $29 billion and $36.6 billion.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you know, the Red Herring blog, the day before they announced they were going to do their IPO in April, I got the price that they were going to do within 1%.
Just a guess?
I could figure it out based on what they were going to use as comparables.
Wow.
But, the thing is, and, you know, so anyway, take a little credit here. You didn't even have to wait to find out what this is going to cost. because it was going to be absurd.
Mitch is a Swanee. He just knows these things.
It's like the great Carnac.
Yes.
Carnac, yes. The amazing. They're going to value themselves at the same price, basically, as Yahoo, which has better growth and more revenues and, you know, all these other things. What's really nefarious about this are two things. One is they're going to sell a bunch of stock owned by the owners of the company on the day the company goes public. Normally, the company sells stock, gets all the money from the stock that's sold on the day of the IPO. Mm-hmm. And then later on, the insiders, the people who own shares now before the IPO, can sell their shares to the public. It's called a secondary offering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to roll it all up into one nifty little package where almost half the money, about 45% of the money that's going to be raised on the day of the IPO, is not going to go to the company at all, but right into the pockets of the people at the company. So the two founders of the company that day are going to cash out $138 million or so in stock that they're each going to be able to put in their pocket.
Yeah.
Why would you buy shares in a company where the founders are already selling their stock? Aren't they confident that every penny that they have today is going to turn into 2 pennies in the future?
Yeah.
Why do they need to cash out? They can get paid by the company. The company is profitable.
Yeah.
So then the other thing is that if you buy shares in this company today, and you know, you buy your Google common shares, you're buying a second category of shares that have one vote. And each of the Google founders, the people who control the company now, have 10.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no chance under any circumstances ever that shareholders will be able to object to and make any kind of meaningful impact on the direction of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think of buying stock as buying a company, you would never buy a company you had no control over and where the people who you were buying the shares from were getting out while simultaneously working there. That's what they're doing. They're selling out. I mean, you know, the thing is, Larry Page and Sergey Brin, the two founders of the company, are going to have $138 million. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to Google in the future, whether or not it's going to grow or not. Those guys have $138 million.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about anything again ever in their lives.
So where's the motivation for them to keep pushing, right?
Well, I'm sure they're going to keep pushing. Their motivation is being entrepreneurial.
Sure.
But the thing is, they're already guaranteed. They've cashed out. They've made their money.
Yeah.
Even if they never made another cent, it wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they made $138 million.
Yeah.
Why would you buy into that?
Mm-hmm.
Because search is – I mean, if you look, Lycos was sold this week by Terra Lycos, a Spanish company, to Dom Communications, which is a Korean company. Lycos sold in 1999 for $12.6 billion.
Yeah.
It was sold for $95.5 million.
Yeah, what does that tell you? It's not worth as much.
Right, and if Google is worth $36 billion today, what's it going to be worth in 4 years? We, you know, based on the experience, search is a rapidly diminishing value proposition. It goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. You know, search has got to change. Otherwise, we're just going to be overwhelming ourselves with more information.
Well, it's also a very competitive area, too. There's a lot of new technologies that can come in and replace Google very quickly. I mean,
in a heartbeat, just as Google replaced Excite, Lycos, Yahoo, Overture, and everything else.
And you can't count Microsoft out on this. You know, their steam is just getting going.
Mm-hmm.
And Yahoo is far more profitable than Google is. And it has better solid sales than Google has as well and is more diverse. Where would you put your money? Would you put it in Yahoo or you put it in Google? I'd say put it in Yahoo at this point.
I put it in Yahoo right now because right now Yahoo is trading about 25% below its recent highs and well below its historic highs.
Plus, they are already doing what Google is trying to do, which is
on the technological front, but then they also have a much more diverse offering. They offer content.
That's exactly what I mean,
That allow them to create other revenue streams.
Yep.
Google basically has the paid placement revenue stream, and that's it. Now, I think they're doing a good job of trying to extend what they can do with paid placement. That's why Gmail and Orkut and Blogger are all, you know, they're all there to collect information about each of us so that they can place ads in context on other sites where AdWords, the Google AdWords service, is being used.
They need to pull all those services into one offering, though. That's what's
hard to do.
It is hard to do, but that's exactly what Yahoo's doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're integrating as much as they can all the services and offering the customers that are in Orkut other services that could be offered through Google. So that's what I think. Google is still in its infancy, but also Yahoo is already doing a lot of the stuff that they're doing.
I wouldn't touch the Google IPO with a 1,000-foot pole. Mm-hmm. I mean, let the stock go to market, see what it actually settles out at. If it goes up, hey, you know, there are stupid people in the world who pay more for a stock than it was originally sold for. But I'll guarantee you in 6 months that that is not going to be $135
stock. No, it's going to drive a lot of people are going to lose money when that stock goes out. The other thing I wanted to talk about just really quick, and I know we don't have a lot of time left, is peer-to-peer file sharing networks. There's been a lot of discussion in the government right now that they're going to do this inducement act proposal that could really
entrapment, actually
undermine the whole peer-to-peer network technology. And it seems like it's such an understood technology. Big corporations
are kind of misunderstanding me.
And it just seems like that the big corporations are actually lobbying the federal government to pull the rug on it from this. But we're the ones that are all going to lose, the consumers out there and people that are using the internet, if this technology is removed.
Well, I don't think you can actually remove it, because anytime you create – I mean, this is the old saw about the internet. Anytime you create an error or an interruption in the flow, the network will find a way to route around it.
Well, overseas too. Yeah. They can't control what happens over in Europe and Asia.
And they're not going to be able to parse every single bit moving in and out of the United States to prevent P2P from working. So mm-hmm. This is just another example of companies with existing business models demanding that those business models be protected rather than evolving to address new technological environments where they need to do business. So consumers need to defend these by speaking up to their, the representatives that they have elected to Congress. Mm-hmm. The other thing that came out this week just and is related to it is that the FCC says that voice over IP calls should be tappable. Why? Okay. Yeah. Does that mean that we have to pay more for VoIP calls because we have to pay to make sure the technology is tappable?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that the government's kind of chasing the tail here, and they're not going to really catch up with the technology. Just like what you said, it's going to keep running ahead of the government, and the government's going to do what they can to try and corral it, but they're not going to be successful.
Yeah, and the government at this point is acting as a proxy for a lot of large corporations exactly. With regard to P2P.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Mitch, thanks for joining us again.
Well, thank you.
Being in here. And
it's been a pleasure and sort of surreal.
Definitely
it's been
go fun. Check out what Mitch is up to at redherring.com. Click on the blog link and then read the now and check him out at radcliffeblog.com.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you.
Well, if you're curious about the world of sponsored and contextual link advertising and search engines, you don't want to miss our next guest. Charles Bookwalter is Vice President of Client Analytics at Nielsen Net Ratings. He has a lot to share about the search engine business. You're listening to Web Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, Web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com.
The Web Talk Guys, here and now.
You're back with Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and I'm here with Dana Greenlee again on the other microphone.
Well, we all hear about how search is such a powerful advertising medium. There's companies like Google and Yahoo banking their company's future on this fast-growing marketing opportunity. But there's some problems with search's golden child that's called sponsored and contextual link advertising.
Joining us on the line right now is Charles Bookwalter, who's the Vice President of Nielsen Net Ratings, and he's here to give us the real inside scoop on why search advertising should be approached with caution, because the return on investment is getting a little hard to come by. Charles, welcome to the program. It's great to be speaking with you.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you run through some of the research findings that you have about search engine marketing?
Well, at NielsenNet Ratings, we are pretty much the leading company that tracks all aspects of marketing online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who goes where, how much time they spend, et cetera. And anyone that's been tracking anything about online advertising expenditures online knows that probably the fastest growing area within online marketing is search marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the statistics that have been released by the Interactive Advertising Bureau say that if you go back a couple of years ago, maybe search advertising was 4 to 5% of the total. It grew significantly to 15% of the total, and last year in 2003, it grew to 35% of the total. So we're talking a very, really, anything short of a meteoric rise wouldn't really be fair to call it. It's just immense. And part of the reason for it is you have very well-known firms, of course, Google, Overture, which is now part of Yahoo. Everyone knows that MSN is investing like crazy to compete.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's a number of other very, very credible players like Ask Jeeves and a number of others that have really been working very hard to, you know, really transform how search works, make it more relevant, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that as a means of backdrop, I mean, I think it's just come on like gangbusters. And while very, very few people expect that the kind of rates of growth are going to continue,
mm-hmm.
The fact is it's here to stay. It's going to continue to most likely gain and share. And I think that the research we did recently took advantage of the context I just set. And basically, you know, if you look at, you know, all markets are all characterized by changes in demand and supply.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually chose to look at what's going on in search from a demand-supply perspective in the following way. I just led you through showing how the demand for search advertising has gone through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at those IAB numbers, the Interactive Advertising Bureau numbers I just shared with you, you know, we're talking about almost 200% growth.
Oh, yeah.
Year over year in terms of the demand for search, meaning how much people are spending on mm-hmm. the advertising. But then if you contrast that with what we are calling the supply of search, which, you know, the number of people who are searching at any point in time, the number mm-hmm. of sessions. You can also look at it by the kinds of products people are searching for. That's grown also. The number of sessions out there grew about 30% year over year, which mm-hmm. is a pretty steep rise. But 30% is a hell of a lot less than 184 or 200%.
Yeah, so it's kind of slowing down a little bit.
Well, what we basically mm-hmm. look at is if you see that the demand for search advertising is climbing, let's say, 200% year over year,
mm-hmm.
and the supply of actually the number of search sessions is growing 30%, well, what typically happens when demand significantly outstrips supply? Prices go up.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you might say, well, big whoop, you know, that's the way of the world. But there are actually some very interesting repercussions if pricing for search start to ratchet up. One of the most interesting aspects of the search revenue to search engines like Google, Overture, MSN, et cetera, is the lion's share of revenue is coming from small to medium-sized companies.
Mm-hmm.
These are companies that have been locked out of certain advertising markets before, and all of a sudden, you know, this not only is this allowing many of these firms to, on an extremely cost-effective way, get into the market, but it's also turning many of these companies onto the online medium, which many of them turned a blind eye to before. They didn't know how online could help them. So this has really transformed the marketing plans of many smaller companies. Now, many of these smaller companies obviously have relatively small budgets.
Yeah.
And so if the search, if the pricing for search starts to ratchet up, many of these companies are going to likely say, well, look, this search stuff is great, but, you know, I have a limited budget, so I'm going to have to cut back. So I think that our thought process then led to the next step, which was to say, well, it's not a foregone conclusion that these prices have to go up. And
mm-hmm.
really the best way out is for many of the search engines to continue to aggressively innovate. And,
mm-hmm.
and let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I think one of the things that is emerging right now in the search arena is called local search.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the way that works in a nutshell is if people right now, if they search and they go look for a DVD, It casts a wide net across the whole net. You know, it does a natural algorithm search, and you know, DVDs, you know, will come up in the rankings, and then on the far right, there will be different companies that pay for links. But it can be anywhere in the world. It can be down in California. It can be in Miami or whatever. More and more, people are wanting to do searches for their local area. I want to buy a DVD in Seattle. I want to, you know, find a bookstore in Tacoma. And it, if you think about it, this has the potential of dramatically transforming the way search works in general and the number of search opportunities, i.e. the supply. And if indeed these firms can add things like local search, what this will do in turn is increase the supply, which obviously will moderate prices. And I think that we actually feel pretty strongly that if you look at all the leading search companies right now, they are populated with such extremely bright people, not only from an engineering and technical standpoint, but many other standpoints, and that that many of them are investing to do exactly what we think they need to do, which is to increase supply.
There is a lot of demand for companies running advertising in the search engines, but like you said, there's also a shortage of words. And I think that's really the key thing here is the prices for certain words has gone so high that it's pricing it out of a range that a smaller company can get an ROI on.
That's exactly right.
Do you see that kind of opening up based on session usage? Is that what you're thinking, that you know, as more people search, that ROI will climb back up again?
We think that's exactly what will happen. Uh-huh. It's partially a matter of more people searching, which, as you point out, if there's more words, or which is another way of saying there's a significant increase in the number of opportunities to search. There's more products you're looking for. And if you think about going from, you know, a global search to more and more local variants on search, you know, that is what we think is the inevitable outcome, is that you know, once again, going back to our demand-supply model, is in the face of increasing demand, if you can find a way to increase supply, that is the most direct way to moderate prices, which we believe, you know, it is extremely important for this industry at this point to make sure that some aspects of these prices just don't go through the roof.
So are we starting to see fewer and fewer folks able to actually run an ad campaign because they're finding that they're not getting a return on their money? Are we starting to see that ceiling right now where there's a...
You know, it's a great question. We actually do hear from a few advertisers that they're pulling back a little bit because over the last 18 months, let's say the last 18 months to 2 years, that people have experimented and have done so many innovative things with search, they're actually finding that they've been there, they've done that, and they're pulling back a little bit. But in all fairness, I think it would be a significant overstatement to say that in general people are pulling back. I think that our research really was a prospective kind of thing looking to the future. It's really not at a danger point at this point in time. We feel that it's the kind of thing that could happen down the road. But I think one other point we still have to make is, you know, while you're right, certain words have been up to $10, $15 a word, you know, the lion's share, we're still talking pennies per keyword search. Mm-hmm. And I think that relatively speaking, if you compare and contrast these prices to equivalent pricing for TV advertising, whether it's local, spot, national, or you compare it to cable, you compare it to magazine, print, et cetera, there's no question that on a relative basis, you know, this is still an incredibly cost-effective medium. Now, many of the online publishers, of course, who were just battered in the market retraction in 2000 and 2001 are, I can use this, they're delighted to see that prices for the online medium are starting to grow again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, many firms had to go out of business, and you're now seeing some very healthy results from some of the largest web publishers, which is just tremendous news for the online marketplace. So you have, of course, the people that are offering, you know, the publishers are happy to see these things going up, but advertisers, of course, would appreciate it if prices could stay reasonable for as long as possible. So, because, you know, still there are so many advertisers that online is still new to them and they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And many of these firms want to try it out and want to experiment, and they will only do that if prices, if it's reasonable for them to try it out. If indeed it starts, they start getting priced out of the market, they're going to back off because they really don't know how it works for them.
Yeah. And I think also a local search has some growing that needs to happen too. It seems like it's going to be difficult, I think, to get the data that's needed to really do an effective local search. I know that there's been a lot of information that's been stored in like Yellow Pages for years and years. And is that where do you see that going? Do you see the Yellow Pages, you know, like the US West Dex or those kind of folks stealing a significant part of that location base or local search, or do you see that being an area that Google can really dominate?
I think there's no question that all of the search engines right now, whether it's Google, Overture, MSN, Ask Jeeves, and a number of other firms that have been entering the market, you know, local search is, I'm not going to say it's the number one thing they're investing in, but it's very high on the list. Mm-hmm. And so I think you're going to see a tremendous array of offerings over the next 2 years. But one of the things that is really interesting that we've been thinking a lot about internally here at Nielsen Net Ratings, and we're talking to a few clients about doing some projects in this area, is this whole concept of Yellow Page migration. The thing that is so interesting about the market is that with all of the tremendous strides that have been made in online media and online marketing over the last few years, the lion's share, the Yellow Page business is still very much a hard copy, mm-hmm. quote, offline business.
Yeah, it is.
And, I have, kids that are growing up quickly that have grown up in the online space. It doesn't take too much mental gymnastics to kind of think of the future and think of your Trio or think of your BlackBerry, mm-hmm. and know that the contents of Yellow Pages anywhere are most likely going to be accessible on a wireless device.
Yeah.
And it makes all the sense in the world, but getting from where we are today to where to that vision a couple of years down the road, a huge amount of investment and work mm-hmm. has to happen. And I think a related issue to it, it's kind of a generational issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are even, many, friends I have in their 20s and 30s who are incredibly, high-tech literate and online literate. They use Yellow Pages 2, 3, 4 times a day still because it's convenient, it's easy, and alternatives don't exist. And so I think that, this is going to be one of those things that isn't going to happen overnight. But given all the strides that have happened, it's really not too difficult to envision that it will be happening down the road.
We're in the middle of a conversation with Charles Bookwalter. He's Vice President, Client Analytics at Nielsen Net Ratings. He's given us the lowdown on the search engine business as it pertains to contextual and sponsored link advertising. More with Charles in a moment. You're listening to Web Talk Radio. Hey!
This is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. If you currently would like to listen to music and talk radio programming on your MP3 player, I've got an insider tip on a cool new download service called Serenade Audio. Serenade Audio is a revolutionary new radio service that's going to change your MP3 player listening experience. Serenade Audio enables you to schedule and automatically download Web Talk Radio, NPR, Ken Radio, and over 300 other top talk, sports, and entertainment radio programs right to your MP3 player through your PC. You'll be able to listen anytime, anywhere, at home, on the go, or at the gym. And when you sign up for Serenade Audio and download the software, you'll receive over 100 free music channels for your desktop. And Serenade Audio also offers a 15-day trial on the download before you buy. So listening to the radio on your schedule doesn't get any easier, so go visit Serenade Audio at serenadesystems.com/webtalk and start downloading today.
Don't you know who we are?
You web guys rock!
Gather round, webheads. Listen and learn.
Web Talk Radio is back. I'm Rob Greenlee, and I'm here with Web Girl Dana.
And rounding out our little trifecta is Charles Bookwalter. He's on the phone with us from Nielsen Net Ratings. He's the Vice President of Client Analytics, giving us the inside look at the business of search.
I would think all those small businesses that are in those local locations need to put up content on the web to be able to utilize the location-based search type technology. And there's still a significant number of small businesses that don't have websites or don't have any kind of information online
Absolutely.
About themselves.
Absolutely. And you know, the investments to do that are not trivial. You know,
yeah.
to have, you know, robust systems, you know, that can indeed respond in timely ways to an onslaught of consumers. It's even though it's much, much cheaper than it was 2-3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
we're still talking about some investment dollars that probably for many of these companies still aren't budgeted.
Yeah. So I think this is something that's going to evolve over the next 5 years is what you guys are saying?
Yeah, there's no question. I think you're going to see, you know, when you take the opportunity, like one of the great parts of working at a firm like Nielsen Net Ratings is, you know, every day we get to interact with our clients, which, you know, we've mentioned many of the companies, all the leading portals, the leading publishers, many leading advertisers in the online space. The intelligence and the capabilities that mm-hmm. exist in many of these companies, you know, when you get abreast of the kind of knowledge they have and the intelligence that they're applying to this problem and the manner in which they're investing, you just know that this is going to happen very, very quickly. It's a phenomenally competitive marketplace. Once again, being from the Seattle area, you know, and knowing a fair amount from what MSN and Microsoft have been publishing about their strategies to compete in search, you know, it has every bit the feeling that Microsoft did back in 95 when they were out to compete with Netscape. Now, many analysts feel that competing with Google in search is, in a sense, a much stiffer battle than that last one. But nonetheless, you know, no one, very few people would count Microsoft out, given the amount of resources and smart people they have to put on this.
The MSN site out there is getting a tremendous amount of traffic now. It's
absolutely.
I think, the number one web property. So they're certainly sitting in a good position to take advantage of that. One thing I also want to talk about, too, is on the local level, trying to drive that ROI to, let's say, a local business that's on the street corner that's, you know, you find through your mobile device. And it's really all about targeted traffic now. You guys have come out with your research saying that relevancy is the key. And I think that's probably a key component to what's going to be successful in location-based search, too, is that it's not the total number of people that you get clicks for, and it's how targeted and how specific they are, and that'll actually keep the budgets in line, too, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's also, you know, when I spoke earlier about the competitive nature of the marketplace, you know, in this fragmented media world, consumers are less and less and less forgiving. And I think that people that when they do get, when they become knowledgeable about how to work in online systems, mm-hmm. and they, you know, once they find a system that works for them, and in particular what you were mentioning, the issue of relevancy, once they become used to a high level of relevancy in a system that works well for them, anything that comes up second, even if it's by a little,
yeah.
it's going to be a distant second, and it will not be used.
And,
you know, old habits die hard. And so once people, I think it's one of the reasons, you know, that Google has established such a beachhead. It's because people have found, you know, that Google was very quick, you know, mm-hmm. to bring the relevancy issue to a new level. Many
mm-hmm.
firms are catching up, no question about it.
Yeah.
But in that process of catching up, people have gotten used to, you know, to the Google interface and the Google process, et cetera. And so I think that, you know, that is a very, very key issue going forward. I think people are going to be very intolerant of local search systems that really don't give them what they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what's the next step for that relevancy thing? I mean, what is there any models out there that you guys are seeing that is a good example of that?
Well, you know, you're quickly getting beyond my competence in this area because I'm telling you, the PhD statisticians, economists and engineers
mm-hmm.
that these firms have been hiring to look at these things. I mean, we're talking about Star Wars kinds of capabilities. And, you know, I'm
supercomputers,
not gonna venture,
right? Yeah.
I'm not going to venture to go there.
Yeah.
But it is really, it's breathtaking, you know, really the kind of effort that's being put into these things to make these systems more and more accurate.
Google has certainly changed a lot. You know, their whole PageRank system has been very controversial for many years, and it seems like the PageRank is becoming a little less important. It almost feels that way anyway. I don't know. Is that what you're feeling out there or seeing?
Well, actually, it's interesting you mention that. One of the reasons I'm in New York this week is we presented a study in connection with the Interactive Advertising Bureau, and it has everything to do with search. One of the knee-jerk reactions in the online advertising world is if, you know, there's been a very long question is, can online advertising contribute to brands and build brands and have brand impact?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a foregone conclusion. Anyone that's been in this industry fully understands that banner advertising, love it or hate it, it almost doesn't matter. These ads have direct brand impact. Study after study shows that. But the knee-jerk reaction has been that search really isn't about branding. Search is about kind of more of a direct marketing kind of approach.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been kind of this dual world of it's search, it's direct marketing, there's no branding. And if it's a banner ad, if it's an image ad, it's about branding and it doesn't have any direct marketing contribution. And the research we've just completed with the Interactive Advertising Bureau shows it really debunks that myth. And it shows mm-hmm. without any shadow of a doubt that search actually can have significant contributions to certain brand elements.
Mm-hmm.
And I mention all this because it responds to your question right now is what we learned is that if indeed a particular brand does consistently show up number one in the search listings,
mm-hmm.
That connotes leadership. It connotes popularity and a number of things that contribute positively to a brand. And something that shows up maybe down fourth, fifth, and sixth does not measure as well as something that comes up higher. You know, one of the newer areas is this whole issue of contextual advertising.
Yeah.
One of the things you're seeing more and more is when you go to a page, let's say an automobile page, there will be a banner-looking ad element, but it will be filled with text, which are basically ad words. You know, that fill up. You know, you might have a Ford 150
mm-hmm.
set of descriptions inside of it. And we've learned that those kind of ads, too, which have don't look nothing like a traditional image ad, which are known to do branding, these things also are contributing more and more to brand impact also. So just the final point I'm going to make on that score is that one of the emerging trends we see among all of the leading advertisers who are using the online space, some advertisers did everything in search, some clung to banner ads. And I think now the question that's emerging that we're getting from all of our clients is, what is an optimal thing to do? To what extent do we use search? To what extent do we use banner ads?
Mm-hmm.
And when we use banner ads, which ones should we use? And how do these things work together?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a question that we weren't getting at all 1 year ago. And it kind of speaks to how this market's evolving.
Yeah, it's fascinating you talk about brands because it seems like some of those brand names and some of the categories that are out there for keywords and keyword phrases are some of the highest priced words in search advertising. That certainly is driving a lot of the higher prices, I think, in the keywords. So, you know, branding is exactly what it's such a powerful thing online, and I think a lot of people have underestimated its impact. Charles, it's been great to speak with you.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been good to talk to you, and we'll do it again sometime soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
We've been having conversation with Charles Buckwalter of Nielsen Net Ratings. Well, we're out of time this week, and we really appreciate you listening to Web Talk Radio once again. We hope that you garnered a little bit of information that you can use throughout your week in your digital lifestyle.
And thank you for letting us into your lives, and we look forward to having you be a listener on the show next week. And if you want to stop by our website, you're certainly welcome to do that at webtalkradio.com and check out some of our archives. We'll see you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel. We'll